waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.
Smith Show. Check out the website, TheRickSmithShow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com. So Wednesday was just a remarkable day of internet activism, online activism, as more than 125,000 websites, you had internet users and organizations from across, not just the country, but I think across the globe, engaging in protest against this idea of ending net neutrality. And, you know, for small businesses like mine, I believe ending net neutrality would just be devastating. And I think it'd be devastating for small businesses across this country. Here to talk a little bit about, one, the day of action, and two, what ending net neutrality would do, by the former Verizon attorney. I've asked Tim Carr to come talk with us. He's a senior director of strategy at Free Press and Free Press Action Fund. Tim, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm good. I'm looking at this Wednesday, great day of action. Is it going to help?
Oh, well, we certainly hope so. I mean, one of the things that's clear about the issue of net neutrality, which a lot of folks call the First Amendment of the Internet, is that it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or Democrat. Public polling has shown that you support net neutrality protections. And we got these protections in place under the Obama administration in 2015, and now we have a Trump appointee at the Federal Communications Commission, a fellow by the name of Ajit Pai, who is following, the Trump doctrine and trying to unwind every accomplishment that the Obama administration made. And so that means that they're in the middle of this process to take away our net neutrality protections. And so millions of people took action on Wednesday. So we're hopeful that message will get through.
Is it that you've got a president and an administration trying to undo everything the previous president did, or is this just purely their ideology of everything should be in the hands of a corporate master and somehow privatized?
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, those are the same thing. But what we have in Ajit Pai, who is the chairman, and he didn't come on board with the Trump administration. He's actually been at the FCC for a while. He was just in the minority under the Obama administration, and he has always been a foe of net neutrality. And he comes from this sort of anti-regulatory, sort of libertarian ideology that believes that if you take away the hand of government, the magic of the marketplace will serve Americans best. And we've shown through a lot of work, and we've been working on this issue for 10 years, that in fact you need this sort of light touch protection for internet users in order for this network to remain open in the ways that allows all of us to participate, to connect with one another. And it's, that's been a boon for a lot of the businesses that participated in the day of action, like Spotify and Facebook and Etsy and Kickstarter and Mozilla. They've all benefited from having an open network, and we're trying to preserve that not just for that sort of business innovation, but also for people who use the internet for a whole range of things.
Yeah, but you mentioned something a second ago that the right wing loves to say that, the free market, the invisible hand, if we would leave things alone, it would be great, it would be fabulous. Consumers would get lower prices, they'd get better products, it'd be better for society. And I keep asking, okay, we've been hearing this now for 40 years. Show me where that's actually worked.
Well, it certainly hasn't worked in the internet space, and we find the problem that we have in the United States with internet access is that you have the free hand has resulted in monopolies for a lot of internet users around the country. They only have one or possibly two. A lot of people still have no options for high-speed home internet access, and those companies like Comcast, AT&T, and Verizon are virtual monopolies in those local markets. And so the marketplace doesn't serve the interests of consumers very well because there's no competition. Prices go up, and when they decide that they want to abuse the open internet, they want to throttle access to websites that you might like to use, services that you might like to use, there is no one there to tell them that they can't. And the net neutrality protections that we got in place really serve that purpose. They put internet users back in the driver's seat and to keep the network open for all of us the way it was originally intended to be.
Now, I remember during the W years, during George W. Bush's presidency, he came out and said, and it was one of those, a gaffe, but he was right. He said, you know, the United States is 10th in internet speeds and access, and that's 10 spots too low. But now we're even worse off than 10 spots too low.
Yes, I mean, you know, it depends on how you measure it, but you'll see that a lot of countries in Northern Europe and a lot of countries in Asia are leapfrogging over the internet, the quality of service that is provided with the United States internet. In a lot of cases, that's because their mobile technology is much more advanced than ours. But in other cases, and you look at Japan as an example, you can look at Hong Kong as an example, the government has actually gotten engaged in really trying to incentivize internet service providers to provide fast and affordable high-speed internet services, because they understand that this is the essential infrastructure of the 21st century. If you really want to grow your economy and you want to have an engaged and educated citizenry, it's to your benefit to make sure that everyone can have access to an affordable and open internet.
Yeah, now on that point, I mean, having an informed and educated populace, citizens capable of self-rule and self-governance, you know, what would the end of net neutrality look like? I mean, we're seeing a lot around, and we're hearing a lot about Russian meddling and the targeting of, you know, certain districts with fake news and all of this, you know, this stuff going on. Would this be better or worse if net neutrality were to go away? Because there are some who are saying, Tim, that, you know, maybe we could target those bad actors and we could censor all that stuff out.
I think obviously that the end of net neutrality would be worse on all fronts, and we actually know what it looks like because we do have a history of violations by these internet service providers. For example, there have been ISPs, internet service providers are the phone and cable companies that provide you with access, but there are ISPs that have blocked access to voice over internet protocol systems, a system like Skype, for example. A lot of people use that to make phone calls to relatives around the world. There have been instances where a company like AT&T would block Skype because it competes with its own service. Comcast has blocked access to file sharing services where people were legally sharing files. And there are even instances where that kind of blocking has been politically motivated. One of the largest ISPs in Canada actually blocked access to union websites where people were supporting a strike against that same company.
I mean, it's almost Orwellian. I mean, I don't even know where to go with this, and yet I still have friends, Tim, who think this is a good idea. That, you know, if we, you know, we open this up, they have this view that ending net neutrality is somehow bringing us freedom and liberty. And yet it's the exact opposite, isn't it?
It is. I mean, there's a lot of rhetoric that's being put out by the phone and cable lobby that said one of their favorite lines is that net neutrality is government regulation of the internet. And that's simply not true. What net neutrality rules do is they provide oversight of internet access providers, companies like Comcast, Verizon, AT&T, Time Warner Cable, Charter. That is regulation of the providers, not of the internet itself. And a company like AT&T is no more the internet than, say, you know, a company like Georgia Pacific is the forest. It is a company that provides people with access to this internet, but nobody actually owns the internet. It is a network of networks, some of which, you know, are owned by private entities. Others are networks are owned by public entities. We're all connected because we follow this basic rule that allows us to connect and share information without discrimination and without gatekeepers.
Now, the other point is, you know, my grandfather always said that if a rich guy's going to take a buck out of his pocket to tell you don't need something, you better spend two to get it. And I'm looking at big multinational corporations, huge conglomerates like Comcast and AT&T and Verizon, and they're spending a lot of money to try and end net neutrality. And, you know, just from a measure of common sense, even if you don't know, you know, all of the ins and outs, the fact that they're spending money to say that they want this, is something I think we should be repelling against.
Yeah, I mean, it's fairly obvious. And they are spending money, by the way. There was a recent study by MapLight that showed that over the last decade, they've spent more than $500 million on lobbyists to try to defeat net neutrality. And it's interesting that, you know, these companies, while they're cash rich, are certainly in the minority when it comes to public opinion on this. And we've won the argument for net neutrality in the court of public opinion, and recent polling shows it doesn't matter. I mean, 73% of Republicans said they support net neutrality rules, and 80% of Democrats. And so it's an issue that makes sense to people outside the Beltway, but once you get inside Washington, where there is so much of that influential money washing about, you'll find people who will say those sorts of things, that, you know, this is heavy-handed government regulation, they're going to shut down the internet, and that kind of rhetoric really exists inside the Beltway, and usually the people who are speaking in those terms are people who are receiving money from the phone and cable lobby.
Well, and the other point is, you know, if that were to happen, I mean, if the government were actually shutting it down, wouldn't that be happening now?
Yes. Well, we have net neutrality protections in place. They've been in place since we passed.
For those who say that, you know, leaving net neutrality in place and that this is government intervention and government intrusion, wouldn't you be seeing those things happening right now?
Yeah, I mean, you would, but they're not.
Exactly.
Right. And we've in the last 2 years since these rules have been in place, we've seen investment go up. We've seen innovation on the network. People are investing. These companies are investing in building new networks. Video streaming has seen amazing innovations since net neutrality rules were put in place. There's been expansion of wireless services. And so, you know, it's working. And we have these rules in place. It's working not only for people who now have the assurances that the open internet is protected, but it's also working for the companies that provide internet access and companies who run their businesses on the internet. So there is really nothing here that this FCC needs to fix. This is purely driven by ideology.
So let me ask you, what can people do? I mean, this isn't done yet. Honestly, although I feel kind of in this fatalist mode that this is their ideology. They now have the power to do it. What should people be doing?
Well, we had a day of action on July 12th. More than 5 million people contacted Congress. Another 2 million sent comments to the FCC. But that day wasn't the end. You can continue to file comments to the FCC and call your members of Congress. The best place to go would be either freepress.net, which is my website for Free Press, my organization, or battleforthenet.com. Which is a coalition website that's been doing a lot of organizing as well.
And we'll make sure we get links to the ricksmithshow.com so folks can take a look at that. Because, look, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we talk about monopolies and it's, you know, we have almost a monopoly in this country when it comes to internet. And I think that if you were to undo the net neutrality, it would even get worse. Or do you think I'm off base?
No, you would. You would be handing more power to a small handful of companies that control internet access. That's a power over the future of communication. So yeah, it would get worse in many ways.
I mean, because I'm against the idea of monopoly, especially when you're talking about communication. And there's one other thing I wanted to ask you about, because your group is actually doing some work on this, and that's with the Sinclair Broadcasting Group wanting to buy up the Tribune. And you go, this is more consolidation of media, more consolidation of what's on our screens, in our ears, before our eyeballs. I just think this is another one of those horrible things that this administration is going to do.
Well, you know, since the Trump administration, a lot of these large consolidated media companies have gone on a buying spree. And Sinclair is exhibit A. And not only are they getting larger, they control more than 100 local television stations across the country. They are also very pro-Trump. They're mandating that those local stations carry pro-Trump messaging and commentary during their nightly newscasts. So they really are turning into a propaganda outlet for the Trump administration. And as they gobble up more local television stations, their influence is even more pervasive.
Again, more reasons people need to get active, get involved, and have their voices heard. Again, freepress.net, the website. We'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com, how you can get involved, get active, stay engaged. Tim, it was great talking with you. I appreciate you taking some time for us. I'd love to have you back again real soon.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much, Tim Carr. Again, freepress.net, the website, highly suggested. Let's take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
We got to get organized. We got to do it today. No more madness than fuel. No more disarray. We got to get organized.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.